The Sounds of Shakespeare Radio Theater Company presents Antony and Cleopatra by William Shakespeare.
Nay, but this dotage of our generals overflows the measure. Those his goodly eyes that o'er the files and musters of the war have glowed like plated Mars, now bend, now turn, the office and devotion of their view upon a tawny front. His captain's heart, which in the scuffles of great fights hath burst the buckles on his breast, renags all temper and is become the bellows and the fan to cool a gypsy's lust. Look where they come. Take but good note, and you shall see in him the triple pillar of the world transformed into a strumpet's fool. Behold and see.
If it be love indeed, tell me how much.
There's beggary in the love that can be reckoned.
How said a born, how far to be beloved?
Then thou must needs find out new heaven, new earth.
News, my good lord, from Rome.
Grates me the sum.
Nay, hear them, Antony. Fulvia perchance is angry. Or who knows if the scarce bearded Caesar have not sent his powerful mandate to you. Do this or this, take in that kingdom and enfranchise that performed, or else we damn.
How, my love?
Perchance, nay, and most like. You must not stay here longer. Your dismission is come from Caesar. Therefore, hear it, Antony. Where's Fulvia's process? Caesar's, I would say. Both. Call in the messengers. As I am Egypt's queen, thou blushest, Antony. And that blood of thine is Caesar's homager. Else so thy cheek pays shame when shrill-tongued Fulvia scolds. The messenger.
Let Rome in Tiber melt, and the wide arch of the ranged empire fall. Here is my space. Kingdoms are clay, our dungy earth alike feeds beast as man. The nobleness of life is to do thus, when such a mutual pair as such a twain can do it, in which I bind, on the pain of punishment, the world to wheat we stand up peerless.
Excellent falsehood. Why did he marry Fulvia, not love her? I'll seem the fool I am not. Antony will be himself.
But stirred by Cleopatra. Now, for love of love and her soft hours, let's not confound the time with conference harsh. There's not a minute of our lives should stretch without some pleasure now. What sport tonight?
Hear the ambassadors.
Fie, wrangling queen! Whom everything becomes to chide, to laugh, to weep, whose every passion fully strives to make itself in thee fair and admired? No messenger but thine. And all alone tonight we'll wander through the streets and note the qualities of people. Come, my queen, last night you did desire it. Speak not to us, Demetrius. I'm going to get you.
Is Caesar with Antonius' prize so slight?
Sir, sometimes when he is not Antony, he comes too short of that great property, which still should go with Antony.
I am full sorry that he approves the common liar who thus speaks of him at Rome. But I will hope of better deeds tomorrow. Rest you happy.
Where is he?
I do not see him since.
See where he is, who's with him, what he does. I did not send you. If you find him sad, say I am dancing. If in mirth, report that I am sudden sick. Quick, and return, Charmian.
Madam! Methinks if you did love him dearly, you do not hold the method to enforce the like from him.
What should I do? I do not.
In each thing give him way. Cross him nothing.
Thou cheatest like a fool. The way to lose him.
Tempt him not so too far. I wish forbear. In time we hate that which we often fear. But here comes Antony.
I am sick and sullen.
I am sorry to give breathing to my purpose.
Help me away, dear Charmian. I shall fall. It cannot be thus long. The sides of nature will not sustain it.
Now, my dearest queen...
Pray you stand further from me.
What's the matter?
I know by that same eye there's some good news. What says the married woman? You may go. Would she had never given you leave to come... Let her not say, 'tis I keep you here. I have no power over you. Hers you are.
The gods best
know. Oh, never was that queen so mightily betrayed. Yet at the first, I saw the treasons planted.
Cleopatra...
Why should I think you could be mine and true, though you in swearing shake the throne at gods who have been false to Fulvia? Riotous madness to be entangled with those mouth-made vows which break themselves in swear.
Most sweet queen...
Nay, pray you, seek no color for your going, but bid farewell and go. When you sued staying, then was the time for words. No going then. Eternity was in our lips and eyes, bliss in our brows bent, none our part so poor but was a race of heaven. They are so still, or thou, the greatest soldier of the world, art turned the greatest liar.
How now, lady?
I would I had thy interest. Thou shouldst know there were a heart in Egypt.
Hear me, queen. The strong necessity of time commands our services a while. But my full heart remains in use with you. Our Italy shines o'er with civil swords. Sextus Pompeius makes his approaches to the port of Rome. Equality of two domestic powers breeds scrupulous faction. The hated, grown to strength, are newly grown to love. The condemned Pompey, rich in his father's honor, creeps apace into the hearts of such as have not thrived upon the present state, whose numbers threaten. And quietness, grown sick of rest, would purge by any desperate change. My more particular, and that which most you should safe my going, is Fulvia's death.
Though age from folly could not give me freedom, it does from childishness. Can Fulvia die?
She's dead, my queen. Look here, and at thy sovereign leisure, read the garboils she awaked. At the last, best, see when and where she died.
Oh, most false love! Where be the sacred vials thou shouldst fill with sorrowful water? Now I see in Fulvia's death how mine received shall be.
Quarrel no more. But be prepared to know the purposes I bear, which are, or cease, as you shall give the advice. By the fire that quickens Nihilus' slime, I go from hence thy soldier, servant, making peace or war as thou affects.
Cut my lace, Charmian, come. Oh, but let it be. I am quickly ill and well, so Antony loves.
My precious queen, forbear. And give true evidence to his love, which stands an honorable trial.
So Fulvia told me. I prithee. Turn aside and weep for her, then bid adieu to me, and say the tears belong to Egypt. Good now, play one scene of excellent dissembling, and let it look like perfect honor.
You'll heat my blood.
You can do no better more. Yet, but this is meetly.
Now, by my sword...
And target. Still he mends, but this is not the best. Look, pretty Charmian, how this Herculean Roman does become the carriage of his chain.
I'll leave you, lady.
Courteous lord, one word. Sir, you and I must part, but that's not it. Sir, you and I have loved. Oh, but there's not it. That you know well. Something it is I would. Oh, my oblivion is a very Antony, and I'm all forgotten.
But that your royalty holds idleness your subject, I should take you for idleness itself.
'Tis sweating labor to bear such idleness so near the heart as Cleopatra this. But, sir, forgive me. Since my becomings kill me when they do not, I will to you. Your honor calls you hence. Therefore, be deaf to my unpitied folly, and all the gods go with you. Upon your sword sit laurel victory, and smooth success be strewed before your feet.
Let us go. Come. Our separation so abides and flies, that thou, residing here, goest yet with me, and I, hence fleeting, here remain with thee. Away!
You may see, Lepidus, and henceforth know, it is not Caesar's natural vice to hate our great competitor. From Alexandria, this is the news. He fishes, drinks, and wastes the lamps of night in revel. Is not more manlike than Cleopatra, nor the Queen of Ptolemy more womanly than he. Hardly gave audience, or vouchsafed to think he had partners. You shall find there a man who is the abstract of all faults that all men follow.
I must not think there are evils enow to darken all his goodness. His faults in him seem as the spots of heaven, more fiery by night's blackness, hereditary, rather than purchased. What he cannot change, than what he chooses.
You are too indulgent. Let us grant it is not amiss to tumble on the bed of Ptolemy, to give a kingdom for a mirth, to sit and keep the turn of tippling with a slave, to reel the streets at noon, and stand the buffet with knaves that smell of sweat. Say this becomes him. And his composure must be rare indeed when these things cannot blemish. Yet must Antony no way excuse his soils, when we do bear so great weight on his likeness. If he filled his vacancy with his voluptuousness, full surfeits, and the dryness of his bones call on him fort. But to confound such time that drums him from his sport, and speaks as loud as his own state and ours, righteous to be chid as we rate boys, who, being mature in knowledge, pawn their experience to their present pleasure, and so rebel to judgment.
Here's more news.
Thy biddings have been done, and every hour, most noble Caesar, shalt thou have report of how 'tis abroad. Pompey is strong at sea, and it appears he is beloved of those that only have feared Caesar. To the ports the discontents repair, and men's reports give him much wrong.
I should have known no less. It hath been taught us from the primal state that he which is was wished until he were, and the ebbed man, never loved till ne'er worth love, comes dearly to be lacked. But this common body, like to be a vagabond flag upon the stream, goes to and back, lackeying a varying tide, to rot itself with motion.
Caesar, I bring thee word. Menecrates and Menes, famous pirates, make the sea serve them, which they ear and wound with keels of every kind. Many hot inroads they make in Italy. The borders maritime lack blood to think on it, and flush youth revolt. No vessel can peep forth, but 'tis as soon taken as seen, for Pompey's name strikes more than could his war resisted.
Antony, leave thy lascivious wassails. When thou once was beaten from Medina, where thou slewest Hirtius and Pansa, consuls, at thy heel did famine follow. When thou fought'st against, thou daintily brought up, with patience more than savages could suffer. Thou didst drink the stale of horses, and the gilded puddle which beasts would cough at. Thy palate then did deign the roughest berry on the rudest hedge. Yea, like the stag, when snow the pasture sheets, the barks of trees thou brownsest. On the Alps it is reported thou didst eat strange flesh, which some did die to look on. And all this, it wounds thine honor that I speak it now, who was born so like a soldier. That thy cheek so much as lanked not.
'Tis pity of him.
Let his shames quickly drive him to Rome. 'Tis time we twain did show ourselves in the field, and to that end assemble we immediate council. Pompey thrives in our idleness.
Tomorrow, Caesar, I shall be furnished to inform you rightly both by what sea and land I can be able to front this present time.
Till which encounter it is my business too. Farewell.
Farewell, my lord. What you shall know meantime of stirs abroad, I shall beseech you, sir, to let me be the partaker.
Doubt not, sir. I know it for my bond.
Charmian.
Madam.
Give me to drink Mandragora.
Why, madam?
That I might sleep out this great gap of time. My Antony is away.
You think of him too much.
Oh, just treason.
Madam, I trust not so.
Thou, eunuch. Mardian.
What's your highness' pleasure?
Not now to hear thee sing. I take no pleasure in aught an eunuch has. 'Tis well for thee that, being unseminared, thy freer thoughts may not fly forth of Egypt. Hast thou affections?
Yes, gracious madam.
Indeed?
Not indeed, madam, for I can do nothing but what indeed is honest to be done. Yet have I fierce affections, and think what Venus did with Mars.
Mardian? Charmian, where think'st thou he is now? Stands he or sits he? Or does he walk? Or is he on his horse? Oh, happy horse to bear the weight of Antony. Do bravely, horse, for what's thou whom thou movest? The demi-atlas of this earth, the arm and burgonet of men. He's speaking now, or murmuring, where's my serpent of old Nile? For so he calls me. Now I feed myself with most delicious poison. Think on me that am with Phoebus' amorous pinches black and wrinkled deep in time? Broad-fronted Caesar, when thou wast here above the ground, I was a morsel for a monarch. And great Pompey would stand and make his eyes grow in my brow. There would he anchor his aspect and die with looking on his life.
Sovereign of Egypt, hail!
Oh, how much unlike art thou, Mark Antony. Yet coming from him, the great medicine hath with his tinct gilded thee. How goes it with my brave Mark Antony?
Last thing he did, dear queen, he kissed, the last of many doubled kisses, this orient pearl. His speech sticks in my heart.
Mine ear must pluck it thence.
Good friend, quoth he, say, the firm Roman to great Egypt sends this treasure of an oyster, at whose foot, to mend the petty present, I will piece her opulent throne with kingdoms. All the East, say thou, shall call her mistress. So he nodded, and soberly did mount an arm-gaunt steed, who neighed so high that what I would have spoke was beastly dumbed by him.
What, was he sad or merry?
Like to the time of the year between the extremes of hot and cold, he was nor sad nor merry.
Oh, well-divided disposition! Note him, good Charmian, 'tis the man, but note him.
He was not sad, for he would shine on those that make their looks by his. He was not merry, which seemed to tell them his remembrance lay in Egypt with his joy. But between both, O heavenly mingle, be'st thou sad or merry, the violence of either thee becomes so it does no man else. That's now my post.
Aye, madam, 20 several messengers. Why do you send so thick?
Who's born that day when I forget to send to Antony shall die a beggar. Ink and paper, Charmian. Welcome, my good Alexis. Did I, Charmian, ever love Caesar so?
Oh, that brave Caesar.
Be choked with such another emphasis. Say the brave Antony.
The valiant Caesar.
By Isis, I will give thee bloody teeth if thou was Caesar paragon again, my man of men.
By your most gracious pardon, I sing but after you.
My salad days, when I was green in judgment. Cold in blood, to say as I said then. But come, away, get me ink and paper. He shall have every day a several greeting, or I'll unpeople Egypt.